Our scripture this morning comes from John chapter 5, beginning in verse 16, technically through 42, but we'll just read through about 25 or so. As a result, the Jewish leaders were harassing Jesus since he had done these things on the Sabbath. Jesus replied, "My Father is still working, and I am working too." For this reason, the Jewish leaders wanted even more to kill him. Not only because he was doing away with the Sabbath, but also because he called God his own Father, thereby making himself equal with God. Jesus responded to the Jewish leaders, "I assure you that the Son cannot do anything by himself except what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. The Father loves the Son and shows him everything that he does, and he will show him greater works than these, so that you will marvel. As the Father raises the dead and gives life, so too the Son gives life to whomever he wishes. The Father doesn't judge anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son, so that everyone will honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever doesn't honor the Son doesn't honor the Father who sent him. I assure you that whoever hears my word and believes in the one who sent me has eternal life and won't come under judgment, but has passed from death into life. I assure you that the time is coming and is here when the dead will hear the voice of God's Son, and those who hear it will live." It's the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
So we have been looking this beginning part of the year at who is this God we worship, and a variety of ways that God makes himself known to us. That God reveals himself to us so that we might know him. Unlike any other God, that we don't have to try to figure it out, but that God chose to make himself known, that God wanted to be known, even though he is beyond our comprehension. That God draws near to us. That God reveals himself as a shepherd who leads us and guides us on the path. That God makes himself known as a redeemer who can set us free from the power of sin in our lives. And today specifically, we look at God as Father. For this is one of the most common terms we see, particularly as we look at the life of Jesus. We talk about Jesus as the Son and God as the Father. And in fact, that's the very image that caused Jesus probably more trouble than anything. As we read in John chapter 5 just a moment ago, yes, they were angry about the fact that he was bending the Sabbath law, or so it seemed, in that he was healing on the Sabbath and doing good for those and what they considered work on the Sabbath, and therefore breaking the law. And Jesus obviously redefined all of that to say, is it unlawful to do good, to bring healing to someone, even on the Sabbath? Who of us wouldn't do that for an ox or for another animal in the field? And yet, why can't we bring healing to one another, even on the Sabbath? And so obviously there was that issue going on, but that wasn't really the main issue. This is what made them even more angry, was the fact that he had the nerve to call God his Father. The fact that he had the audacity to claim that close of a relationship with the Creator. And that Jesus would use familiar language, that Abba kind of language, that daddy language, to be close to God. Or as the writer of the Shack calls God Papa. It's these sort of familiar images. They're very intimate, very close, and just quite frankly seemed offensive to our religious leaders. How could we have any rights to call God such familiar terms? He's worthy of honor and glory and reverence and awe. And that's all absolutely true. And yet, Jesus claimed oneness. And not only oneness with the Father in the sense that he's close, but even more to claim that he is truly one with God. As the Nicene Creed says, that Jesus is eternally begotten from the Father. think about God as our Father. But the truth is that God was Father long before humankind was ever created. It's part of God's nature, God's identity, that the Father and the Son are both eternal. And that God the Father always existed as Father. And that everything the Father does, so does the Son. And everything the Son does and says, so does the Father. In John 14, Jesus goes on to explain that everything he says, everything he has taught, he only teaches what comes from the Father. He says, if you want to know the Father, know me. And you have seen the Father. He makes it very clear. He said, this was a difficult transition in my own spiritual life because growing up in the Catholic Church and always using the Father language just seemed normal. I mean, we call the priest Father, we pray the Lord's Prayer all the time, and we knew that Jesus taught us to pray our Father. And so Father was just sort of the common, easy language for me that just was normal. God's Father. And whenever I start prayers, that tended to be the way I would start them. But then I started to notice something change. Around 99, 2000, in the summer of 99, my father passed away of cancer. And I continued to pray the same way, but prayers started to seem more and more empty. Like, I didn't really mean them as much as I used to. And it wasn't until several years later, it was probably a long stretch of time in that I just didn't feel very close to my prayer line. It wasn't until I looked back on that many, many years later to try to figure out why. And it was when I started looking at these roles of God, these various images for God, and I realized that part of my issue was the fact that in that season, I didn't really want God to be my Father. Sounds horrible. I know. But the truth is, I didn't want God to be my Father because somehow it felt like a betrayal of my earthly Father. Because I didn't want everybody who kept saying, oh, don't worry, God will father you, God will care for you, God is your Father, don't worry, you can pray to Him. And I kept saying, yeah, I don't really care, I just want my dad back. Don't talk to me about God being my Father. He gave me a Father and then He took him away. At least that's what it felt like. And I didn't want to hear it. And I know others have trouble with this Father language for other reasons. That people have had horrible relationships with their Father. That their Father is distant. And to think of God that way, it thinks, oh, well, God doesn't care. God's just off somewhere and God knows going who knows what. He's never around. Just like my dad. Or maybe somebody who's even been abused and scared by their Father. And so this image comes with conflicted feelings and emotions for so many people. And even though I was very, very close to my dad, it still wasn't good enough to sustain me to make that comparison. Because I didn't want God to be just a replacement for my dad. God had to be something more. And so that fathering that I struggled with for a long time. And then later on, when I started trying to actually process all of this and wrestle with this, I started asking the question, how can we really know God as Father? What does it mean for God to be a Father? If we've got so many mixed messages in the world of what a Father actually is, some good and some horrible, how do we actually understand God as a Father? And I started looking through, particularly through the Gospels, because I know that's where God reveals Himself for Christ. And I noticed that through the Gospels, the Father doesn't speak very much. There's only a few key times. He speaks at Jesus' baptism through the Spirit. This is my Son with whom I am well pleased. He speaks and tells the disciples to listen to Him because this is His beloved Son. There's a few times where we actually hear the Father's voice from heaven, but not much. Mostly we hear the Son. And Jesus tells us that he is one with the Father, that everything he says is what the Father would say, or has said, or is saying. But it's still hard. Jesus we can relate to. Jesus has put on flesh. Jesus has walked as one of us. We can kind of connect to God in that way. Because we understand him in human form. But this Heavenly Father seems more obscure. That's why in this image of Father, you see only the eye, not the face. That somehow in Scripture the face of the Father feels obscured. We know we can see the face of the Father in the face of Christ, and yet there's something, a disconnect, that the Father still feels out there somewhere, mysterious. We can only see the love in his eye. Perhaps the tear as he grieves for us as children in this broken world of suffering and pain. What does the Father do? Who is Father God? There was an article by Irma Bombeck, and she talks about a picture of a father. And it was a picture given from a little girl who really, really loved her dad. But she just didn't know what dads actually did. You know, they go off to work all the time. They're just not, they don't really know what they're doing while they're not there. And so she talks about this story. She said, one morning my father didn't get up and go to work. One morning he went to the hospital and he died the next day. And I hadn't thought much about him before. He was just somebody who left and came home, and he seemed glad to see us at night. He opened the jar of pickles when nobody else could. He was the only one in the house who wasn't afraid to go to the basement by himself. He cut himself shaving, but nobody kissed him or cared or got excited about it. It was understood that when it rained, he was the one to get in the car and brought it around to us and open the doors. When anybody was sick, he would get the prescriptions filled, and he took lots of pictures, but he was never in any of them. And when I played house, she said, the mother doll had a lot to do. But I never knew what to do with the daddy doll. And so I'd have him say, I'm going off to work now, and then I'd throw him under the bed. The funeral was in our living room, and a lot of people came and brought all kinds of good food and cakes, and we never had so much company. But I went to my room, and I felt under my bed, and I found that daddy doll. And when I found him, I dusted him off, and I put him on my bed. He never did anything, I thought. How could his leaving hurt so much? Friends, sometimes that's how it feels with God. He never did anything we thought. Is he really involved? Does he really care? Does he actually do anything in our lives? Sure, he's got a lot of big work to do out there in the cosmos. Sure, he's got a lot on his plate to juggle all of the things in creation and all of the various people and situations around the world. Yeah, God's busy, just as our fathers are. But what does he do for us? In some ways, we've just kind of tossed him under the bed. God's out there somewhere. We'll check in with him on Sunday mornings. Hey, Dad, how's it going? Okay, off to work again? So am I. Bye. See ya. And I kind of like that Cat Stevens song about the father who's always too busy. And then when he gets older, his son is too busy for him. We find ourselves in that cycle with God. Either we feel like God's got too much going on that's beyond us, or we feel like our stuff is too trivial for him, or maybe the other way around, that we've just got too much going on. We don't really have time to sit down and have a conversation with Dad. This image you see Certainly the eye of love in the Father. But also the invitation of the Father. That even though we don't always understand what He's doing and what He's up to, that He's always inviting. Perhaps the best image in Scripture we get of the Father is that story that Jesus tells of the prodigal son. Which really ought to be called the story of the loving Father. Because when that son has been so disobedient and so sinful and run off and squandered everything, essentially spit in his dad's face and says, "Hey, I want my inheritance now." In other words, "I wish you were already dead so I could have everything that is owed me." And takes it and squanders it and destroys his family's name. And yet when he runs back, we see this kind of invitation. We see the father with his arms out, tossing his kid in the air, joyfully welcoming him home, embracing him. The father that gets down on the child's level to speak eye to eye. Not above him like we see, you know, in the cartoons where you got the kids down here and all you see is the legs of the adults and the wah-wah-wah-wah-wah because that's all the kids hear. Yeah, God as a parent, as an adult figure in our lives, as a father figure in our lives, like he's the father that gets down on our level. That's why Jesus came. The father that looks us in the eye, that speaks to us one-on-one, that loves us dearly, that invites us. And so God is up to a lot more than we realize. And God wants to be involved as a father in our lives a lot more than we understand, and perhaps a lot more than we as fathers or our own fathers have known how to be. And so that's where this final piece comes in, is if we struggle to relate with God as Father, for one, that's okay. It may not be the first image we have to deal with. As I said last week, maybe what we need more than anything right now is a shepherd to lead us. Maybe what we need is to be set free from something, from a redeemer. And we'll look at other images later, judge and king and priests. Maybe those are the things we need in our lives right now, and that's okay if that's what we need to start with God. But if you hear God today inviting you, arms open, kneeling down to your level, calling you to allow Him to be your daddy, then I invite this possibility. This comes from a lady named Tammy. She says, instead of allowing a broken father experience on earth to cause rejection and the possibility of experiencing a good father in heaven, maybe we should allow for the possibility of a good father in heaven so that he can heal our memory of a broken father on earth, or an absent father on earth, or a father on earth who has gone home. That God never becomes a replacement for that. That God never tries to step in whether our father is good or bad and do anything to hinder that relationship. But that God establishes the model of what a father is, of what it means to be a good father, and that He shows us that model through the Son. That His sending Jesus to earth was His way of bending the knee to us so that we could sit on His lap for a while and ask, "Daddy, what do you do? Why do you care? Do I matter?" All the questions that we've wondered, that He invites us to come and ask. Tammy tells the story that she had to come to grips with this idea that God was the Father who could heal the broken memories and the painful memories of our fathers on earth. She says, "The past is the past, and my life is no longer about those things in my past." She says, "It's not about the death of my mother or when my father turned to alcohol as the only way to deal with his loss. It's not about the sexual abuse that began when I was 6 at the hands of my father. or the physical or emotional abuse that accompanied it. It's not about the drugs and alcohol that I used to hide from him. It's not about how he became a control freak and a workaholic. It's instead about my Heavenly Father. That despite all of these things, when I could not love myself, there was a Father who loved me. That when I hated my own Father, there was still a Father who loved me. Even when I numbed my own pain, there was a Father who still loved me, who knew everything about me, who I didn't have to worry about what if he walks in the door and catches me. He already knows. And he still loves me. She says, I was full of bitterness and anger and fear and shame. I wasn't going to allow anybody in this fortress. But she had to learn that her Father loved her so much that he had plans to use others to start demolishing the hardened walls of her heart. And she goes on to talk about how he brought various people, how God brought various people into her life to break down those walls. A complete stranger who provided for a need, a good relationship with a boss, a pastor, a member of the church congregation, she tells all these stories. And then finally, and most importantly, how God the Father used his only Son to show us in his death, in his sacrifice, just how much he loves us and calls us to come home. And so let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for those who find the idea of fatherhood vain through our own experiences of brokenness or loss. We pray for your healing and your peace. Lord, even for those who find joy in the thoughts of our fathers, or of being a father. Help us to look higher to the example that you have set for us. That we, by the grace of your Holy Spirit, might call you our daddy. And might allow ourselves to be fathered by you. And Lord, our experiences or memories, good or bad, help us simply to crawl up in your lap. To allow ourselves to be little children again. And to know that we are safe in our Father's arms. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.